Hey everyone, you might remember me from Teen Mom 2, but my 15 minutes is almost up. So I'm back with another podcast. I'm your barely famous host, Kale Lowry, and I'm catching up with people from my past, putting my exes on the hot seat, and chatting with TikTokers, influencers, and other reality stars. Get weird with me every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Well, we're going to go deeper into the 70s, both music, maudlin music, and some of the things that passed for television. And, well, is this what we talk about? Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.? Pray tell? You'll see what I'm talking about.
First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who wouldn't? And that's where Geico comes in. They can insure your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, or condos, or renters coverage as well. Save more with special discounts when you bundle the coverages, and it's easy to use. They have a mobile app, 24/7 roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today, see just how much you can save. Simply go to geico.com, get a rate quote, or contact your local agent.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the chairs. I'm going to get on Dr. Drew's board-certified physician. He's also with his addictions and his medicines with the special, with the emphasis on care. I was just talking to Chris about Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
What a name. Ephraim Zimbalist. 77 Sunset Strip, starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
I thought I honestly couldn't place it. I just
where he came from?
I think he was the FBI.
Well, play the – you can play – Gary's not in there, but you can play the theme song from 77 Sunset Strip, and his name is in the opening theme section.
That was like a – cool cop kind of 60s show.
Yeah,
or something.
Older cop, cool detective show, younger
Ephraim
cop.
Zimbalist Jr. So.
What a name.
Under the.
Who knows what his real name was?
I bet that's his real name.
It could be.
It could be. So under the heading of knowing nothing, you still kind of will know everything if your head is clear, your antenna's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So you just heard me arguing with Chris because what I was saying. So I was watching a documentary on Sam Cooke, and
can't figure. I know the name. Why can't I figure who Sam Cooke is?
Oh, a bunch of hits, R&B.
Yeah, 60s, yeah.
Killed in the Hotel.
Yes, yeah.
Chick shot him. Blah blah blah. Anyway, it was written and produced by some so-and-so Zimbalist and someone else, Zimbalist, a couple of Zimbalist brothers, you know? So I looked at it. I was like, Zimbalist?
Weird.
That's a unique name. And then I thought, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. And I thought, well, maybe they're the son of Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. But I thought, nah, I think that would make him too old. You know, we have the Sunset Strip.
Oh, thing. Great.
But I'll give you a little
77 all right, Sunset Strip.
All right, show ran 3 years, but it felt like 30 in Drew's world.
Somehow that it's almost like Car 54. Where Are You? Which I think was one or two seasons. That's another one that, or Lost in Space, Lost in Time, or something. These things seem to last forever, and they were all one season nothings. But you know, when you're 3 years old or 10 years old or whatever I was, and had nothing to watch. So here we go. This is the theme song. It's black and white. It's not even and it's coming into the – I don't know how they got the aerial shot. It must have actually been a helicopter coming into the building of 77 Sunset Strip, which I don't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
So there it is. Look at that.
77 Sunset Strip,
77 Sunset Strip.
77 Sunset Strip.
Starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Smoking.
Sunset Strip.
And Roger Smith.
The young cool guy.
77 Sunset Strip.
Co-starring Edward Burns. Produced by Warner Brothers.
Probably on the roof of the building across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did the FBI also do the starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.?
I think that was a moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it being quite like that later. What was the opening of the FBI? I can't remember what it was.
Gary will find it.
Yeah, and by anyway. The way, the how about the huge jazz orchestra? The full musical. I love that.
So I was arguing with Chris, sort of. So I have a real sensitivity about people trying to – I find sometimes – a lot of times people try to talk me out of shit that I know.
You know, can
now,
I say
Chris
something?
Will always go, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But I'm I say to people all the time, don't say no until it's no.
As you've grown more mature, you've become less tolerant of that shit. So you've been the same – But you're more vocal about your lack of tolerance.
So, yeah, I had this thing where we'll run the FBI. Let's see.
Right.
The FBI.
Oh, it is.
In color.
That's it.
That's it. So they... But did Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. star in the FBI?
The first article that popped up when I typed in his name, it did say star of the FBI.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so I was like,
it's interesting that it's the same voice from 77 Sunset Strip. Same guy, right?
They all sounded alike.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was saying Zimbalist. That's a unique name. Gotta be related to Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. And then I went and tried to look it up on Wikipedia. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. And then I told Chris to look it up, and he's like, no. Nah. And I'm like, okay, maybe not the son, but Zimbalist, distant cousin.
Related somehow.
Somehow yeah. The name yeah. is related. And he's like, I don't think so. No. And then 30 seconds later, he went, oh, it's a third cousin like on the mom's side. And I said, okay, but don't say no. But here's the other thing too. I don't know anything. All I know is that's a crazy name. So there's and they're both working in Hollywood. Yeah. There's got to be some.
You're just playing the doing the math.
Yeah, there's got to be some tissue that connects these two.
So but I think that don't say no is deeper in your mind than just don't doubt me when I kind of know something. It's also your improv training. When people say no to you, you immediately have a reaction.
I don't like it, but what it does is it'll stop you from your mission a little bit.
Same thing as improv, right? Stops the conversation.
No, I just mean.
Yeah, it stops you in your tracks.
Try if look for it, and he did.
Yeah.
He looked for it, make you right. But yeah. What I'm saying is don't even weigh in until you're done
with you. You got to understand that with most people, to say no, you're usually right. So. You know what I mean?
You can do math as well. It's a crazy name.
Yeah.
And they both work in Hollywood
or
have worked in Hollywood. There's a connection somehow. But it could be
no, I get
connection.
You. But I don't think you're – certainly people say things to you a lot every day and you go, I don't know. Right? A lot.
It all depends on who's saying it.
Right. And I don't think people do that math so much. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Someone's
talk to Robin. Line one.
Someone's starting a new job. Robin, 37.
Hey, Adam, Drew. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Hi, guy.
Hey, first off, I'm going to be seeing you on Saturday here in Tacoma. Can't wait to see you. And just actually wanted to see if you guys needed a ride from the airport first.
We're getting a rental car, but thank you.
Boo.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather ride in a 92 Ford Bronco, though?
That's the OJ Bronco. Is that the OJ Bronco? Or is that like an 89?
It is the OJ Bronco. It's white with red interior.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sweet. Hey, this is going up.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great ride. But anyways, just wanted to call and ask you guys for some advice. I'm starting a new job. I worked in sheet metal in the Air Force for a few years. And then once I got out, kind of bounced around the country a little bit, and then ended up in Seattle, Washington, working as a welder here on Navy ships. And just not making enough money. Doesn't seem like there's enough opportunity going on here. And we've got some union strikes that are kind of pending. So I started looking for some new jobs. And started a new job in sales, and just kind of wanted to see if you guys had any advice for me.
Mm. Does he sound like a salesman to you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You just heard welder.
Yeah.
You're being a snob.
No, not being a snob. I'm wondering if he's going to be happy being a salesman. That's what
I don't
I'm
know
wondering.
How anyone is happy being a salesman.
Well, some people, that they're just constituted that way. They like that. They like selling people stuff. They like – because they're by the way, they're good subjects of salespeople too. They like buying stuff from salespeople.
My advice from what I've learned is relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what about any realtor who you've dealt with, who you've said like, I'm not – selling my house, but I am curious, can you give me some comps for the neighborhood?
Yeah.
And they don't get back to you, or they're slow or whatever, because they heard you're not selling.
Yeah.
When you do, you'll either get back with them or you won't, depending on what the reaction was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, relationships, man. Even if it means sometimes you're leaving some money on the table.
Mm.
Just that relationship, man.
And that includes networking, right? It's not.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of relational
people
stuff.
Have the wrong, you know, the networking has become some sort of synonym
pejorative
for brown nosing.
Yeah. Yeah,
or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's
no.
About relationships and building others, and that person wanting to introduce you to this other person, recommend you. It's all that. So I mean, I know it sounds a little esoteric, but I mean,
well, no,
that's all this.
Sounds exciting, because as a welder, it's sort of a solo deal, right? You're just in your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are people around you, but it's this is really about other people.
It's Robin, good. What are you going to sell?
Security systems.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Well, there's a technical side to that,
yeah.
And you're obviously well versed in that. Your sheet metal and welding.
Are you
background.
Installing them too, or you have somebody else do that process? Or you just said, is that, I mean, I'm wondering if that's going to be part of your expertise, that you could sort of really be good at helping people install, because you come from that kind of background.
No, and that is something I won't be installing at all, but that is something that I do have a unique situation on. I went to college out in Brooklyn for television and radio broadcasting, and I used to build sets and stages for a couple of TV networks out there. So I do think I have a unique set of skills to where, you know, as far as camera placement and what somebody might actually need, and not just selling them on stuff that they don't really need.
There you go. And by the
way,
yeah, Robin is 37. Is that right?
Correct.
This is Robin is what you don't hear amongst his millennial colleagues anymore, which is, I did this, I did that, I moved around, I found this job, I trained for that. I it's almost like I haven't heard that story in a long time. And that's used to be normal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, because most millennials are looking for their dream job, and they just got to have that, got to get to that where I make a difference. I create, you know, it's all about saving the world. So, it's good impulse, but you don't get to do that necessarily. It's really one person at a time you change.
All right, let me tell you about 10,000. I've been wearing their 7-inch interval shorts and versatile shirt. This stuff is really nice. Drew and I always talk about this. For a million years, it was just PE trunks that felt like burlap and a Hanes t-shirt, you know. And now, all of a sudden, 10,000 entered my life. Features silver ion for odor protection, no bounce phone pocket, breathable lightweight shell fabric, and optional liner to prevent chafing. Versatile shirt is perfect for working out. Lightweight, breathable, durable. 200-plus athletes have tested their gear to ensure perfect design, fabric, trims, and fit. free shipping and returns, and a lifetime guarantee. It's $10,000, right, Matt?
$10,000 is offering our listeners 15% off your purchase. Go to 10,000.cc/ADS to receive 15% off your purchase. That is 10,000.cc/ADS.
All right, take a quick break. Back right after this.
Today, we launch Goya Cares.
The mission of Goya Cares is to love and care for God's precious children. Part of that mission is to bring awareness.
Be somebody to somebody.
To stop the abuse and trafficking of future generations.
With awareness comes prevention.
Every life is a precious gift from God.
You are one.
I'm a precious gift from God.
I'm a precious gift from
I'm
God.
I'm a precious gift from God.
I'm a precious gift from God.
I'm a precious gift from God.
Soy un regalo de Dios.
I'm a precious gift from God.
We will do this through a series of educational videos
that we can bring to community leaders, schools, parents, and children.
Even though the subject matter is very dark and heavy, the kindness on this set has radiated throughout the project.
This is going to bring a global call to action.
Goya Cares.
Hopefully we can save people's lives.
And be the light that blocks traffic.
We need to be God's light.
Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org to watch the series.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
I've had this thought in my head since that there's this new movie coming out called Dog.
Yeah, it comes out officially Friday, but their screening's on Thursday.
They're running these ads all over the place. It's a military German Shepherd.
Right.
And someone's, Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, yeah.
Taking it across country. And I keep thinking back to this crazy live-action Saturday morning show called Run, Joe, Run.
I do remember that name.
And
it was sort of... Was it sort of comedic?
No, it was the A team, but for a dog.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Mind blown.
It was a dog that was accused of a military crime that it didn't commit, which is the same as the A team.
Yeah.
And now it roams the Badlands, you know, helping people.
Does it, is it like Lassie? Barks, or does it?
And his trainer, in the A-team, the military police were always hot on their heels.
Yeah.
This is the trainer and the military MPs looking for the dog. It's the exact same story as the A-team, but 10 years earlier.
Oh, really? Dog. That's interesting. Earlier than that. And it is the – okay, here it is.
We'll play it for you. Goddamn German Shepherd so bad.
There's dog climbing fences.
Wanted. Male German Shepherd, black and tan. Answers to the name of Joe. Accused of attacking his trainer, Sergeant Will Corey. A crime he did not commit.
The dog was framed.
Only Corey can prove him innocent. But he must find Joe before his pursuers track him down.
Wow.
I wanted a German Shepherd so goddamn bad. I got a cat.
Named Norman.
Named Norman or hated me.
Did you recognize the voice?
Run, Joe, run.
Do you recognize the voice of the guy announcing? You know what?
Lauren Green?
No, it's the guy from the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
Is it?
Just listen right to it again.
More for Gary to look into. But the dog was framed.
Seriously, Drew?
The dog
I didn't
was...
ask you to look into it. I'm telling you that's
no,
that
you
voice.
Proclaim something you have no way of knowing is true.
Oh, I hear it. I know.
That
I know that's that right voice.
The point is the dog was framed.
Yeah. You can look it up, Gary.
Hey, but... Gary, is that the A-team story or is that the A-team story?
That's the A-team story.
Is it the same producers or anything, or writers?
I don't know. There's some copyright issues in my mind.
Maybe the same people.
Now, what year? That's from 1970?
74 to 75.
Ah,
1 year
I
again.
I wanted a dog so goddamn bad.
A-team was 83.
Loser parents. But that was 74, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
The song Run, Joey, Run probably came out in like 72. It's just weird that there was a run on Running Joe's.
Run, Joey, Run was released in 1975, according to Google.
And wait, that was 74 to 75?
Yes.
And wasn't
so
there
somebody
was
wrote a song called Run, Joey, Run when this popular car, this popular show you, was called Run, Joe, Run.
There was another like primetime show, Run, Somebody, Run. It was sort of a comedy thing. I'm telling you.
From when?
72, 68.
Nobody believes you. It's got to be earlier than 1970.
Maybe.
You want to hear the song Run, Joey,
sure.
Run? It's an awesome song because whoever the young chick, it's about statutory rape, I think. I think. The young girl's voice in it, who is the victim of Joe.
It's another great, the great. Right.
Lots of songs about dads finding shit out and wanting to kill people. There were.
I know.
All right. Sorry. We'll do it.
Drew, you were right. I should have never doubted you.
See?
Oh, whatever. Freeze. Here we go.
Wow. Same voice.
Same voice. I know. I my ear is good.
Chalk went up for Drew.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get married. Just you wait and see.
Every night, the same old dream. I hate to close my eyes. I can't erase the memory. The sound of Julie's cries.
Strangely, she sounds like Julie Brown. Homecoming Queen's got a gun.
Don't come over. My dad and I just had a fight, and he stormed out the door. I've never seen him act this way. My God, he's going crazy. He says he's gonna make you pay for what we've done. He's got a gun, so run.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Dad's going to kill Joe for what he did to the daughter. It stands to reason that the daughter's underage.
Yeah, sounds it, too.
Because if she's of age, like, let's just say she's...
Remember, that was glorified in the 70s.
Let's say she's a
that.
Junior in college.
Yeah.
Is your dad... Is the dad going to go shoot him?
And what is she... That's what it sounds like.
I think this could be our statutory rape song.
One of many.
But this could be the leader in the clubhouse. I'll keep going, sir.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his
voice.
Fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get married. Just you wait and see.
Got in my car and I drove like mad. I reached Julie's place. She ran to me with tear-filled eyes and bruises on her face.
Oh, Dad's beating on her.
All at once I saw him there, sneaking up behind me.
Watch out!
Then Julie yelled.
She wants him to kill the dad.
Stepped in front of me.
Oh, she stepped in front.
Suddenly a shot rang out and I saw Julie falling. I ran to her, I held her close. When I looked down, my hands were red. And here's the last words Julie said.
Get your knee off my fucking chest.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me.
Oh, my God.
Daddy, please don't.
I'm going to vomit.
We're gonna get married.
She died there.
Oh, damn.
This is the creepiest song ever.
Yeah. Well,
this is the 70s, baby.
Run, Joey, run.
I just gotta run again.
Run, Joey, run, Joey, run, Joey, run.
Remember the one we pulled out with the guy with the van and the 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Pushing around into the street barefoot.
How crazy is that song?
It is disgusting, but
how crazy is it? Was that song dropped while Run Joe Run was still alive?
And then
you understand, as a young boy, I was of a wash of thoughts about Joe. We got a dog I'll never get. There's a chick. She's dead now. By the way, hey, how bad is that dad? He beat the shit out of his daughter
and then tried to kill her boyfriend.
and then got a gun and then shot his daughter.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to play my kids that song and go, hey, some dads, you understand?
These were the dads of the 70s.
This is a realistic depiction of a dad. This is how dads used to roll.
So there's a lot of Run Somebody Run stuff going on in the 70s. Run Simon Run was a Burt Reynolds movie.
God, what year was that?
70.
Don't remember that.
70.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Run Somebody Run. I don't know why.
Because
maybe this song started it all.
No, whether it was vaudeville or cartoons or sitcoms, somebody just would make a joke and then they'd go, oh, let's just do that then.
Yeah, that's
it. Everyone just lifted everyone's shit. Ugh. That's how it works. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Put him on the phone. He's tied up at the moment, and then he'd be tied to a chair.
Right.
That's just, you don't say. You know,
he didn't say.
Yeah. That we just had, there was like 9 jokes,
yeah,
4 storylines.
So, but you pointed out to me it's all vaudeville.
And we just carried that into, not Run, Joe, Run, but I mean, they'd come up with a couple things. He's, you know, framed for a crime he didn't commit. Now he's on the loose. He's being tracked by. That was okay. That was 8 stories.
What's weird to us is because we were exposed to all the spinoffs, all the ripoffs, what it must have been like when it was first an original idea. I can't imagine that time.
Right.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the first time that
everything was always derivative.
It was so derivative.
I think I found Drew's comedy. It wasn't a TV show. It was a movie, 1970, Run, Virgin, Run.
Run, Virgin, Run.
Virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
Simon Run. And
see, if it was on TV, I would have caught it, but I was 6.
I just have an image of a guy jumping over a fence and it freezes and you see his feet. And it was Run, Somebody, Run. So anyway, whatever. So it was nothing, you know, whatever.
Run, Joey, run. How creepy is that? Daddy, please don't.
So I want to show you an article. I know.
I got to figure out who. Now, Gary, that guy was definitely a one-hit wonder. Had a weird Canadian haircut.
Is that him we were seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a singer. I wonder something with Canada. I know nothing of the man. And did he go on to, like, produce? See, either these guys went on to produce, you know, John Lennon's next album, or they've just never heard from him again.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they slide behind the camera, so to speak, and do crazy things.
Huh.
Or it's nothing.
Yeah.
I want to know him and her, Gary. All right.
It's uncanny how much her voice sounds like Julie Brown, isn't it? And her name is Julie in this series.
Julie
Everybody
Brown.
Run. Oh. Homecoming Queen's got a gun.
Oh, right. K-Rock song.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
I have an article for you. I don't know if Gary wants to report in on what you just asked.
He'll give him a minute.
Okay.
Well, I can pretty much give you the answer. Run, Joey, Run is by David Geddes, and he had one other song that went on the charts, and other than that, he's not really done anything. He kind of fades away after 1976. Michigan.
Well,
it's on the border.
Plains. Yeah, right.
I felt that part.
The UP.
Yeah, the Upper Peninsula. Yeah. What was his other hit? Although I bet we never heard of it.
It was called The Last Game of the Season, A Blind Man in the Bleachers.
Well, you must look into that song.
Oh, jeez. So, Gary, throw up that Levi's article. I just wanted to – I think I emailed you this article. This is – excuse me. This woman was going to be Levi's brand president, but she kept asking questions about school closures.
Mm-hmm.
And she is from Northern California, and that became a racist thing. That became racist. And so she was told to shut up by her company. And she was like, I just want to understand why my kids can't go to school.
Why is opening schools a racist thing?
I don't know. That eventually got to that.
Well, look, listen, everybody. The data's in, the school closures negatively affected black and brown kids the most.
Yes.
So if you would like to keep the schools open, then that means you're a champion of the black and the brown children.
And it would be helping undo systemic racism by giving them an opportunity to advance themselves.
Yeah, but they need to be shut down. Which, by the way, they don't give a shit about race. They get you canceled because of race. And by the way, she's in a bi whatever relationship. Isn't her husband black or something?
Something like that.
Go ahead.
But the other thing is that it's never the as far as her being racist or whatever. What flies around, what creates gossip, what creates virality, it's never what somebody said. It's always what somebody said they said.
Right.
Uncannily so.
So was she fired from Levi?
She quit. She eventually quit.
But she was getting much shit?
She was
being forced into an education camp, essentially.
That, and then if she wanted to leave with a severance package, she would have to sign a non-shut-up agreement, which she refused to sign so she could speak about this.
For wanting to keep schools open.
Yeah. But no, not even, she didn't even take that position, just asking questions. And wondering why and what's the evidence and what are we doing here other than California?
Right. Yeah. Well, you speak out against them, then they call you racist, and then they get you deplatformed.
Yeah.
And somehow the other side are the tyrannical dictators.
Right. That's the fun I find weird. Fascist.
Right. So Justin Trudeau is not a fascist.
It's something you've always said, which is it's a projection.
It's narcissism. All projection.
It's
all narcissism and projection.
It's what's actually in their thinking and how they would behave. Therefore, they're projecting that onto somebody else.
Right. Ron DeSantis saying, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, live your life. He's a fascist. Justin Trudeau saying, we're going to shut down your bank accounts if you give to the truckers fund. He's not fascist.
Right. I saw.
How's that work again?
Yeah, exactly.
Trudeau calling unvaccinated extremists, misogynists, and rape.
Racist.
Everyone's racist. I would argue no one's racist. Hey, Drew, for 20 years, 20 years plus, you know what I've said? Never a better time to be a real racist.
Mm.
You're now lumped in with half of Canada. By the way, I don't know even how many black people they have in Canada. Like, who are they turning their ire toward? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I mean,
there are some black faces in there, but not
because
many.
They already have weird sort of nationalistic problems with the French.
Mm-hmm.
They have all kinds of problems.
All right.
Do we want to hear this?
Oh, I want to hear Blind Man in the Bleacher. Sorry. Yeah.
Ugh, I'm going to vomit. All this 70s exposure is too much for me.
Don't do the video, Gary. It's always too distracting. Just listen.
He's just the blind man in the bleachers. The local hometown fans. And he sits beneath the speakers, way back in the stands. And he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name. He wants to hear his son get in the game.
Oh. Does he die before son gets in the game?
But the boy's just not a hero.
He's not good.
He's strictly second team. Though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams. He's gonna be a star someday.
You
might never tell.
Everything was maudlin and sad. Everything.
Knows he will.
Who dies, the son or him?
It's the last game of the season on a Friday night.
Maybe he'll get in and make the touchdown.
No one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come.
Here we go.
And his boy looks kind of nervous. Sometimes turns around the stairs, just as though he sees the old man sitting there.
Blind man's at home. I say he died.
Yep, for sure. 100%.
Told you.
Yep.
The local boys are trying, but they slowly lose their will. Another player's down and out and is carried from the field.
Oh, so now the kid, this bad kid, goes in.
Kid goes off alone, and no one sees him talking on the phone.
Dad's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the game's already started when he gets back to the team. And half the crowd can hear his coach yell, where the hell you been? Just getting ready for the second half.
So weird. If this was entertainment, was it a hit?
Gotta let me in to play.
turns and runs into the game. And through the silence on the field, loudspeakers call his name.
He keeps saying the field. He's going out to play. Basketball.
Football.
Oh, I thought it was basketball.
They saw him playing out.
He said something about a touchdown.
Oh, sorry.
I think.
Yeah, football, sir.
And when the game was over, the coach asked him to tell. What was it he was thinking of that made him play so well? Well, you knew my dad was blind, he said. Tonight he passed away.
I do
it's
it!
The first time enough. That my father seen enough. Me play.
All right, I can't take anymore. It's so long.
I told you 26 seconds into this that either the kid dies or the dad dies, but the dad has to die. But you knew the kid was getting in the game.
Ugh. Let me really talk about something positive. Jordan Harbinger, buddy. Jordan Harbinger Show. We're a fan of his fascinating podcast. Interesting people. You should check it out. Episode for everyone, no matter what you are interested in. That he'll sit and analyze the 1970s songs. No, whether it's Scott Adams talking about persuasion or maybe go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking, you will always find something useful and something interesting and something to apply to your own life. Routine changes to boost your productivity, slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. And he's an interesting guy. He speaks multiple languages. I think he has a law degree, too, if I remember right. He's been kidnapped more than once, been held hostage. We enjoy Jordan. We enjoy his show. You will, too. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Search Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, Jordan didn't threaten to take his podcast off Spotify. Imagine that. Jordan Harbinger Show. Check it out.
All right. We have something on Run, Joey, Run.
So it was written by Paul Vance and Jack Perricone. David Geddes had written had recorded a bunch of singles and had not had any success. So he left the music business and went back to school when Paul Vance called him up and said he wanted him to come record the song Run, Joey, Run that he had written with Jack Perricone. They had worked together before and he remembered his voice. And then the other thing is that the female vocals were laid down by the writer Paul Vance's daughter Paula.
A 9-year-old.
How old was she?
No idea.
At 14.
We gotta, Gary, come on. Do your due diligence. All right. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows, and you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/AdamCarolla. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com for the pods, DrDrew.tv for our streaming shows.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who wouldn't? And that's where GEICO comes in. They can insure your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, or condos, or renters coverage as well. Save more with special discounts when you bundle the coverages. And it's easy to use. They have a mobile app, 24/7 roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today. See just how much you can save. Simply go to geico.com, get a rate quote, or contact your local agent.
This February on Pluto TV, we're putting the spotlight on iconic black talent. Watch your favorite movies like Top 5, 48 Hours, and More Than a Game. And drop in to binge black TV classics like The Bernie Mac Show and Moesha. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels and thousands more movies and TV shows all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.